So that was a really short gospel verse, huh? Gospel lesson. But this verse has been kind of jumping off the page at me lately, and I knew it meant something really neat, and I still don't think I understand fully what it's all about. That happens a lot for me, but that truth is so powerful, so amazing. It's simple enough for us to understand, but it's deep enough to keep us curious so that we keep seeking. You know what I'm saying? God brings the cookies off the shelf and gives them to us, but then there's this, but the jar of the cookies is so deep, we keep searching for more cookies because he likes the relationship. But Jesus says this, this is kind of his statement, because in this chapter, as I mentioned yesterday, there's a number of times when, and this happens in the Gospel of John particularly, where people are questioning Jesus' origin. Like they'll say, we know you, and we know where you've come from. Like you're a Galilean, and Nazarenes were scoffed at, looked down on big time. And he says, we know what family you came from. So at one point in this chapter, they're saying, maybe the Pharisees who were going to kill him if he showed up, yet they're letting him talk at the temple and aren't killing him because maybe they've decided that he's the Messiah. And then the people who are saying that, maybe they've decided he's the Messiah. Then they go, no, he can't be the Messiah. We know him. We know where he comes from. He can't be the Messiah. And then later they're asking him questions, and the Pharisees argue with Nicodemus that this guy can't be the Messiah because nothing good can come from Galilee, from Nazareth. But Jesus sort of sums up the deal about his identity and who he is. And he says, I'll just start in this. Let me start verse 25, a little bit of what I've been talking about already. Therefore, some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, is this not the man whom they were seeking to kill? And look, he is speaking publicly, and they, the Pharisees, are saying nothing to him. The rulers do not really know that this is the Christ, do they? However, we know where this man is from. But whenever the Christ does come, no one will know where he's from. Jesus, therefore, cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, you both know me, and you know where I'm from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. And then Jesus says, I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me. The word here, and I don't mean to do grammar lessons, but the word here, when he says, I know him, because I'm from him, the English translation for that word, from, is a bad translation. It's the same word where we get the word paraclete, as two words, paraclete, like the Holy Spirit, and people will translate that as to come alongside, to be near. Well, that word pair, or P-A-R, that we'd spell in English, that's what this word is. It doesn't mean from, it means nearness. And not just nearness, but it has to do with origin. Nearness, and then your origin. What you come out of, who you come from, like, you with me? And so what Jesus is saying here is that I know him because of my nearness, and I actually come out of his being. He is my origin, and he sent me. In John chapter 10, verse 38, and in John chapter 14, verse 10, and John chapter 14, verse 20, in John chapter 17, verse 21, and in John chapter 17, verse 23, Jesus referenced the fact that he was in the Father and the Father was in him. And that's why he said in John chapter 14, verse 9 and 10, when Philip asked him, well, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have you been with me so long that you've not seen the Father? And again, he wasn't saying he was the Father. He just says, when you've seen me, you've seen him. And then Jesus makes the statement in John 14, 10. He says, I do nothing on my own initiative, but it's the Father actually doing the works in me. Now, that is such significant stuff, y'all, because Jesus is, as the God-man, is defining his relationship as man with the Father. Not just his relationship as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. And remember, Jesus came in our place and on our behalf, clothed in our humanity, reconciling us back to God, living the life that we didn't live. He came and did what Adam didn't do, got it right. And so Jesus is defining to us a human relationship that God intended that's being now restored in him, is that you're in him and he's in you. And Jesus was saying, I'm in him, he's in me. That's real nearness, but it's also origin. I come from him. I don't just come from him, leaving him behind. I'm the very origin. He's the very origin of everything that I do. I do nothing of my initiative, but it's the Father in me doing the works. Now, that was important to Jesus because Jesus later says, just like I've been in the Father's been in me. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, he says, you're going to be in me and I'm going to be in you. And in that relationship, you're going to share this union with God, Father. Now think about what Christ was saying and think about the situation that he's in. He's being challenged now, right and left. His season of acceptance and popularity ended, particularly in John 5 when he healed the man on the Sabbath day. So now there's just questions, and the Pharisees are questioning him. The crowd says, well, maybe he's the Messiah. Oh, he can't be the Messiah. We know where he comes from. Well, you can't be, you're a Galilean. His own brothers, starting in chapter 7, didn't believe him. So there's all these doubts, all these questions, all this stuff. And yet Jesus is sort of just walking this out with such security and such a sense of confidence. No weirdness going on in him. But he's not doing that as God. It's not going, yeah, that's easy for Jesus because he's God. No, he's doing this as man, showing us how God created us to live. He's living in union with the Father, and he's showing us. And Jesus said, we're all questioning him, where you come from, all that stuff. Jesus says, you know where I come from. You know who I am. But where I really come from, you don't even know. You don't understand. You don't know him, but I do. Not only do I know him, I live in the proximity of his nearness. And he's the very origin of everything that I do. And that's the one who sent me. The word, again, when Jesus said, I know him, is the word, I know him experientially. I know him intimately. And you have to remember, those are the kind of things that got him in more trouble when he would call God his father. Because Jews didn't believe you could have an intimate relationship with God. It was at a distance because we're sinful. You can't even use his name, Yahweh, because we're too unholy. And here's Jesus coming along and saying, I mean, they know who he is. He's Joseph and Mary's child. He came from Nazareth. He's a carpenter. And yet he's saying, I experience him and I live in close proximity to him. Nearness, such nearness that I can really, that he's the origin. Everything I do comes out of my identity in him. And he's the one who sent me. That's amazing. But you understand Jesus saying, this is what he's doing, is saying, this is how you're called to live. If this is how I'm called to live, because I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, you're called to be able to say, I know him. I mean, I know him intimately because I live in his nearness and he's the very origin of everything I do. And therefore, I can say I'm sent by him. And when you have that, you walk in authority. One of the things I've come to realize is this. I was telling somebody earlier today, I've said this before. I've said this thousands of times, but let me just say this to you. There's a difference between information and revelation. And when I say this, you know, yeah, I've heard that. Then that's just information. It's become information overload. But if it's become revelation, it so awakens you that you can't get enough because the story's so big, the idea of it is so huge that you can't stop learning how to walk this out, how to participate in this thing. What thing? That Christ says in Scripture, he says, for you have died. Whatever you used to know about who you were, you have died, the independent you have died. And your life now is hidden with Christ in God. Wow. Now, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you get to be revealed with him in glory. When Christ is your life, lives through you, then you're experiencing his glory. You're experiencing glory. The phrase, Christ is your life, what does that mean? That's the most important thing you'll ever sort through. Is Jesus Christ the one who is actually your life? Is he your life? I don't mean that, is he your favorite? Do you love him more than anybody else? That's all good. But I mean, is he the very origin of everything that you do? Is he the source of your living? Is he the one who lives through you. Do you understand that you were crucified with Christ? You no longer live, but Christ is now living in you. If you understand that, then not only do you get to experience the wonder of all the potential of what that looks like, Jesus himself living his life through you, just like the Father living through Jesus, but you also have the standard by which you're held accountable. And it's not, therefore, it's not very difficult to sort things out. Like, oh, I'm in sort of a weird mood. Jesus doesn't do weird mood. He's your life. Oh, yeah. Jesus, this is not how we live. The surrender happens moment by moment, but the revelation, the foundational truth, that you get it, that it's Christ, and Christ never gets grouchy. And you can't use being a truth teller as an excuse to be grouchy, because Jesus never did that when he told the truth. And so when you know that, it holds you accountable. You go, well, this can't be Jesus, and you're my life, and so I don't have to stay here, because where you are, I am also. You know what Christ said? This is at the heart of Christianity. And if you and I don't understand that part, you'll forever be trying to sort it out, thinking, all right, I'm trying to be surrendered as I know how to be, but man, sometimes it just gets funky. No, you're not trying to be as surrendered as you can possibly be. You're living in the reality of as surrendered as he possibly can be. He's your life. He's your life. You're not trying to get surrendered. You're not trying to sort through things. You're just simply remembering that he's your life, and he's already sorted through things. And he doesn't do funk, and he doesn't do moods, and he doesn't do weirdness, and he doesn't do grouching, he doesn't do meanness, he doesn't do all those things. And then when you get that down, then you find yourself as a sent one, right? Because now the Jesus who's living his life through you is propelling you constantly to invite others into this reality. Jesus is saying to them, I know that you know me, but you know the truth is you really don't know me. He said, because here's the deal, I know him because I live in his nearness and he's the very origin of everything that I do. And therefore, everything that I say to you, everything that I do is an unveiling of his actions. Just think, if whatever act you do, that the consequence is Jesus' actions through your doing. That's being a sent one. And when I say these things to you, it's not about personality type. I don't care what your personality type is. They're just different reflections of Jesus, but it's still going to look like Jesus. You don't have to live trying to make this thing work, forever sorting through the stuff. He's already sorted through everything for you, and he's now living his life in you, and you can say, I know him, I experience him, because I live in such close proximity to him, I can actually say that he's the origin of everything that I do. I come from him, and I'm a sent one. That's my assignment, okay? That makes sense. I don't mean to be so mystical it doesn't make sense, but that's the gospel. And every person I know, Christian, who struggles, they don't really understand that. Because Jesus doesn't struggle. Therefore, something's missing, okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I still don't think I understand that verse fully. But see, one of the things about noon, this is like my practice session. I get to sort through and do language and stuff and see if I can sort through it, okay?